This afternoon, we will discuss together and study Mark chapter 14 about Mary's love for Jesus. Let us read together. Mark chapter 14, verse 1. After 2 days was the feast of the Passover, and of unleavened bread, and the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. Verse 3. And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves, and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence, and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me, for ye have the poor with you always. And whensoever ye will, ye may do them good, but me ye have not always. Verse 8. She has done what she could. She is come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. Amen. Now, my dearly beloved, the story of Mary's love for Jesus and for her ointment that she had given to our Lord is one of my favorite stories in the whole scripture. Simply because Mary has done something that is extremely precious and rare and hard to come by. That is, she had given her all of her heart to Jesus by giving her very best, the most expensive thing that she was to use the ointment for, the box of ointment of spikenard that are very precious, that was supposed to be used for her wedding day. And instead of pouring on her own self, her own body, she had decided to pour it onto the body of Jesus. And this particular story is extremely important for each and every one of God's children to understand how precious and valuable in the sight of Jesus, and of course, for each and every one of us to realize that until unless we pour our all to Jesus, we could never please our Heavenly Father, isn't it? Let us read together from verse 1 again. After 2 days was the feast of the Passover, and of unleavened bread, and the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman, having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, and she brake the box and poured it on his head. Now, my dearly beloved, at this point of time, our Lord Jesus Christ was about to be crucified. And of course, he was about to return to his original form, being the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and of course, being our High Priest in the spiritual form. This was pretty much the last time that he was to stay on earth in the flesh form and walk as a human with us on the earth. However, little did Mary realize that what she had done was absolutely beautiful. was absolutely a comfort and a joy to the heart of our Lord Jesus Christ, simply because Mary loved Jesus more than anything else, and all she cares at that point of time was to pour out that precious ointment of spikenard onto our Lord's head just out of deep love for him. Now, my dearly beloved, many times God gave each and every one of us chances to give and pour our all to him, isn't it? However, there are many, many born-again Christians and God's children that missed it. In this scenario, Mary took the very best chances, and little did she know that our Lord Jesus Christ was about to be crucified and leave the world. And Mary did not realize that what she had done had earned her the very best title, that is, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. Now, my dearly beloved, without question, wheresoever this gospel is preached today, the story of Mary's love for Jesus cannot be ignored. It has its place of importance. And what Mary had done is something that God's children must take after and follow, simply because Mary has set the very best example of following the footsteps of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, our Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross in order to manifest and display God's love for each and every one of us. And in return, Mary manifests the bride of Christ, the sheep, that love our Lord Jesus Christ with all her heart, soul, and mind and strength. And that is very, very precious, isn't it? For each and every one of God's children to attain, that is to pour our all unto Jesus. Now let's continue on to verse 4. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath brought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good, but me ye have not always. She had done what she could. She is come aforehand to anoint my body to the burning. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she had done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. Now, my dearly beloved, in today's churches, there are many, many churches that have done good charity works of helping the poor and feeding the hungry and so on. And those charity works are wonderful. However, they have neglected the most important thing, apart from doing the charity, is to love Jesus above everything else, simply because the Lord God has given us the instruction written in the first and the greatest commandment, that is to love the Lord God with all our heart, soul, and mind. And so many, many churches today are behaving just like Judas. Of course, referring to Judas that complained and said, wait a minute, we could have sold these things for 300 pence and give it to the poor. You see, of course, we know Judas wasn't sincere about it. But in today's world, there are many, many people in the churches just like Judas. They could do a lot of good works and do some charity. However, their hearts are not like Mary's. You see, Mary's heart is on Jesus. Of course, the poor, you can do some good works, which is fine. But just like our Lord Jesus says in here, ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. but me ye have not always. My dearly beloved, today our Lord God is seeking a heart of each and every one of us, just like Mary's heart. What God is interested in is not a surface attitude, a cover-up attitude of religiosity, or lip service of believing in Jesus. You see, there are many, many Christians, even though born again of the Spirit of God, are still not willing to give their level best and all of their hearts unto Jesus. What they gave Jesus is just a portion, and sometimes a lot less than a portion, maybe just a tad unto Jesus, despite the very fact that our Lord God had given his all unto us. It is only right for each and every one of God's children to obey our Lord God and to love him in return with all our heart, soul, and mind, isn't it? Now, the Lord God is not interested in religion. When our Lord God created each and every one of us right from the beginning of the Garden of Eden, the main purpose of God's creating Adam and Eve, and of course each and every one of us, is to have a personal, loving relationship. Now, the Lord God created us in his image and blew his Spirit into us in order to achieve what we call love relationship. And God is a person and is a being, except that, of course, he is a spiritual being and we are in the flesh forms. And in the Garden of Eden, when God created Adam and Eve were very close with the Lord God. And if they did not obey the voice of the power of darkness, today we would still be in a close relationship with him, isn't it? However, the very moment Adam and Eve choose to disobey the voice of the Lord God, of course, today we falter into the law of sin and we are totally disconnected from the Lord God. And it takes the salvation and the death of our Lord Jesus Christ on the Calvary in order to restore that relationship, so that once again, when we choose to believe in Jesus and accept his death on the Calvary as a full payment of our sin debt, and the Holy Spirit is restored in our heart the very moment we confess and repent of our sin and acknowledge him as our Savior, then that love relationship began to be restored once again. However, as God's children, the power of darkness, the enemy, would tempt each and every one of us to falter into our flesh and loving our own flesh and self instead of loving God. And of course, the devil would use the bait of the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, written by the Apostle John as the world, to tempt us in order for us to love our flesh and, of course, to love the world instead of loving our Heavenly Father. Now, Mary chose to love the Lord God with all her heart, soul, and mind. And in the sight of our Lord God, that is the most precious thing. Now, let me give you a simple illustration. Let's assume you have given birth to a little baby and you raised that baby with all your heart, love, and of course, everything that you would do, you would go around that baby simply because you love that baby. You would give everything, and including your life, of course, to save that baby, isn't it? However, if that baby grows up and that baby decides to make use of you instead of loving you, how do you feel as a parent? Of course, you will feel very disappointed or very hurt, isn't it? Simply because you would like and hope someday that baby would be able to love you in return and have mutual loving relationship between a parent and a child, isn't it? Likewise, our Heavenly Father, he loves us with all his heart, mind, and soul, and gave us his only Son to die on our behalf. You see, God is love, the Apostle John writes. Let me read 1st Epistle of John, chapter 4, verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in him, and God in him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. You see, our Lord God is love by nature. That is his nature. God is holy, perfectly holy, and God is perfectly righteous. But God is absolutely love. That is his nature. And once we falter into sin, our nature is selfish and self-centeredness. We have no love whatsoever. And it takes the presence of the Holy Spirit the very moment we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior that the love of Christ will begin to indwell in our heart. But the question is this, my dearly beloved. Many, many born-again Christians are living a life not Christ-centered, not loving him as the first priority in their life, but rather loving themselves first instead of loving Christ. And as a result, even though they could be born again of the Spirit of God, they are not allowing the love of Jesus Christ to fill their heart. And as a result, they could go to church and they could fellowship and worship God and even read the Bible. However, they are not able to have the strength to journey along the path of the cross simply because they refuse to shed off the love for their own flesh and themselves. They still would hold that love for themselves instead of denying it and crucifying and replacing it with the love of Jesus. You see, that's where the problem is. God is actually love, and the Word of God tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. You see, God loves us so much to the point that he sent his only Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross in order to save us. So what is our attitude today towards our Heavenly Father? Do we return him just a portion of our hearts and still loving ourselves and our flesh? Or do we genuinely say, Lord, thank you for loving me, and it is only right for me to love you in return, isn't it? And to obey the Holy Spirit that now indwells in our heart, isn't it? You see, our Lord God would like each and every one of us to love him, of course, with all our heart, soul, and mind, just like I mentioned in the case of your child. If you have a child and you give him all of your very best to that child, and that child merely uses you as the child grows into a person, into an adulthood, and that child is merely using the parent, how do you feel? Now be in that shoes and see for yourself. Of course, you will feel very disappointed and hurt, isn't it? Likewise, our Lord God is not interested in our material offerings. He is not interested in our external so-called religiosity and going to church just for the sake of outside worship. That is not what he is interested. What God is interested in is what is within our heart. Now let me ask you a question. What is within your heart? Do you give the Lord God all of your love? 100% all of it? Or do you still withhold something of the world that is within your heart? You see, God sees through the heart of men. The book of Samuel tells us, when the Lord God spoke to Samuel, as Samuel was about to anoint David to be king someday, the Lord God says, man looks on the outside, but God looks in the inside. My dearly beloved, today, wherever you are, if you would hear my voice, keep in mind, God is not interested in religiosity. Even though you say, well, I keep all the laws, wonderful. But did you do it because you love him? Or did you do it because you have to keep the law and you're obligated just like the Pharisee? You see, God is not interested in the heart of the Pharisees, who is, after all, is self-worshipping. They do religion. They're not interested in relationship with Christ Jesus out of love. They do it just to show that they are pretty good on the outside, very religious. You see, God is not interested in religion. God is interested in personal, loving relationship with his own children. You see, the sheep with the shepherd, the bride with the groom, a heavenly father with his children. And in that relationship and within that relationship, they got to have the love of Jesus. You see, the Apostle Paul tells us, who can separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Romans 8:35. Nay, in all of these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 8:35-39. Now, my dearly beloved, the Apostle Paul had experienced the love of Jesus. The love of Jesus is so powerful within his heart that he would do anything and everything and finally lay down his life for Jesus, for the sake of our Lord and the very elect, simply because his heart is filled with the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, the love of Jesus. Now today, let me ask you a question. Do you have that love of Jesus within your heart? Do you have absolute love like Mary does and pour all her very best unto Jesus? You see, God is not interested in your material or your financial offering or the surface offering. What God is interested in is what is within your heart. Now, I want to quote for you one more short story, very precious, just like Mary's love, and it is the offerings of the poor widow. Mark 12:41-44. And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in 2 mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. Now, my dearly beloved, our Lord Jesus Christ praised the poor widow. Even though the widow threw in but 2 mites, very small amount of money. And there are many more people out there, the rich people, that cast in much more. However, in the sight of God, what is valuable is not the amount of dollars, but rather the amount of the proportions from your heart that you give to the Lord. In this scenario, the poor widow, even though it's only 2 mites, it's her all, you see. That's all she had. That's including her living. But why would she do that, to give her all to the point that she had nothing for herself? That is because she had absolute love for Jesus, you see. Absolute love for God. And of course, our Lord Jesus praised her. Now, the other people had given hundreds and probably thousands and ten thousands of dollars. But in the sight of God, that is not remembered. Simply because that is just a tad or small portion of what they had. You see, and what is worst of all, it does not come from their hearts. There are many, many people out there, their offers in churches, maybe their tithe, maybe whatever amount of dollars they give in the churches, they did it for some other purposes and some other reason. Impurely motivated, instead of purely motivated with the love of Jesus within their heart. You see, God is not interested in the material or financial offering of yours if you do not do it from your heart unto Jesus, you see. But what God is interested is what is within your heart for Him. Now the question is this. Whatever you do, just like the Apostle Paul tells us, do all in the name of Jesus. It doesn't make any difference whether you do a very small charity work in the name of Christ, whether you help a sister, whether you pray, whatever you do, do it, make sure, heartily, unto our Lord Jesus, out of love and charity. You see, out of the genuine love of Jesus, not a pretension, not a showy thing, not a religion, you see. And let me read another offering. That is what we call a Malachi offering, which is the worst offering unto our Lord God. Malachi 1 verse 6. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priest that despise my name. And ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? Ye offered polluted bread upon mine altar. And ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And if ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if ye offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee, or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, my dearly beloved, today, there are many, many churches that offer polluted bread. Polluted bread spiritually means it is not the genuine bread. You see, Jesus Christ is the manna, the true manna. And so instead of giving the true gospel of Jesus Christ, they have mixed it with social gospel, with the false gospel, and so on. So they have offered polluted bread in the altar of the Lord God. And worst of all, there are many, many Christians today that have offered a sacrifice that is made of the blind, lame, and the sick. What is the meaning of blind? Blind spiritually means that your heart is filled with the power of darkness and a lifestyle of sin to the point that your spiritual eyesight become blinded. You see, sin is blinding, the Word of God tells us. And so if you're living a lifestyle of sin and refuse to repent of it, you can go to church, but what you essentially are doing is to offer the blind sacrifice unto the Lord. Until unless you repent of that sin and confess that sin, you cannot offer yourself unto the Lord as the perfect offering, but rather an offering and a sacrifice that is blind. Now, likewise, the word lame, spiritually lame, means you're not able to journey along the path of the cross simply because you are not walking in obedience to the Holy Spirit. And of course, you're walking in your flesh and you love the world. And as a result, you don't have the strength to be able to walk and journey along the path of the cross with spiritual strength. Likewise, sick spiritually means the same thing. You see, if you are spiritually sick and not healthy, it's because you sins in your heart. And you've got to confess and repent of that sins before you can come to worship the Lord God in the beauty of holiness and in spirit and in truth. You see, you can't offer the Lord God a sacrifice of blindness and, of course, sacrifice of lameness and illness. That's not going to be acceptable in His sight. What the Lord God would like is for us to be pure in our heart. Let us worship the Lord God in the beauty of holiness, not being defiled, for it is an abomination. It is contemptible, you see, before the table of the Lord if we offer ourselves that way in front of the throne of grace. Whenever we come before the Lord God to pray before the throne of grace, we must repent and confess each and every one of our sins so that our offerings and sacrifice unto the Lord God are pure and sanctified and acceptable before His sight. And of course, until unless our heart is purely motivated and filled with the love of Jesus, we would not be able to give our very best unto the Lord. Likewise, our Lord Jesus Christ tells us, He that hath my commandment and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. John 14, verse 21 and 23. So, my dearly beloved, it is very important for us to be able to follow the footsteps of Mary. Mary's love for Jesus. For God is a God of love, and God in return commands us to love him with all our heart, soul, and mind. And the Apostle John tells us, we love him because he first loved us. Likewise, the Apostle John says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandment, and his commandments are not grievous. You see, my dearly beloved, if you become a born-again Christian, and you're struggling, trying to remember his commandment, and trying to act out his commandment, and finding it difficult, it is simply because you have not loved him with all of your heart. You see, the power of darkness would use the world against God's children and would bait our hearts in order for us not to be able to love him with our all. And of course, as our heart goes away from loving God with all our heart, soul, and mind, simply because we falter into the things of the flesh, then we will discover that acting out the word of God is getting to be grievous, getting to be very heavy and difficult, isn't it? There are some people out there, even though they're born again of the Spirit of God, they felt that it is very hard to do it. Well, of course, it is simply because their hearts, which is the foundations of all their offerings and their relationship with the presence of the Holy Spirit, requiring each and every one of us to walk in absolute obedience to the Holy Spirit by crucifying our old flesh. And if we refuse to crucify our old flesh and denying ourselves, then it is extremely difficult for us to journey and follow Jesus, isn't it? Simply because it takes the Holy Spirit that indwells in our hearts to be uplifted as we crucify our flesh and our sinful nature and to trade with the Holy Spirit. You see, if we refuse to crucify our flesh, then the Holy Spirit is not able to be uplifted. And as a result, the Holy Spirit is not able to fill our heart with the love of Jesus. You see, our flesh by nature could never love the Lord God. It is not in our nature simply because we have a fallen nature and we are living in sin. That is our nature. And our nature is selfish. It takes the love of Jesus at the cross and it takes the presence of the Holy Spirit to fill our heart with the love of Jesus as we choose to obey the Holy Spirit. For that reason, our Lord tells us, If you love me, keep my commandment. You see, and it takes the Holy Spirit, of course, as we uplift the Holy Spirit and obey the Holy Spirit and crucify our sinful flesh, then the Holy Spirit, in return, will be able to indwell in our heart joyfully and begin to bloom and grow the life of Christ that is within us. And it takes the Holy Spirit to remind us of the commandment of God. You see, my dearly beloved, God loves us and sent his only Son to die on the cross to pay our sin debt in full. And more importantly also, God sends the Holy Spirit, which is Christ Jesus himself, to come into our heart and indwell in our heart. So our heart has got to be absolutely sanctified in order to present ourselves as a living sacrifice unto the Lord God, absolutely holy. If our heart is defiled with the things of the world or with the things of sin, then the Holy Spirit will be grieved. And if you continue sinning in your heart, then of course, the Holy Spirit finally will be quenched in the long run if you refuse to repent. And as a result, of course, our heart will grow colder and colder unto the Lord God. And many times there are some so-called Christians that finally left the Lord God for the world. Now, my dearly beloved, I would like to share with you one precious testimony of one pastor by the name of Reverend Junaidi, who lives in Indonesia. And this testimony was given to me years ago. And Reverend Junaidi loved our Lord very much. And one day, when he went to visit one brother or sisters in Christ who is in the need of financial help, the Holy Spirit touched Reverend Junaidi to offer his all and give them whatever he's got in his hand. Now, at that point of time, just like the poor widow, Reverend Junaidi had decided to obey the Holy Spirit and gave his all to the person who needs it. And as he walked back towards home, of course, he's got nothing now to offer to his own family. But my dearly beloved, the Lord God that we worship many times would test our heart to see whether we would walk in obedience, to see whether we genuinely love him and obey the Holy Spirit. And so as Reverend Junaidi submitted to the hand of the Lord and gave all that he had unto this particular person in obedience to the Holy Spirit, he went home having nothing for his family. However, as he submitted to the voice of the Holy Spirit, upon arrival at home, his wife gave him an envelope, and within the envelope was the Jehovah Jireh, or money that the Lord had provided, much, much more than he had offered unto the Lord to the other person. Now, isn't this wonderful to realize that the God that we worship is an absolute merciful Heavenly Father? And whatever we have done on his name, just like Mary's love for Jesus, will always be remembered, isn't it? For that reason, my dearly beloved, the Apostle Paul tells us that we've got to practice walking in the Spirit and not fulfill the lusts of our flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Galatians 5:16. Now, my dearly beloved, we've got to practice walking in the Spirit and not in our flesh. I shall read one of the most precious and my favorite sacred hymns to you. And the hymn writes, "Give of your best to the Master. Naught else is worthy his love. He gave himself for your ransom, gave up his glory above, laid down his life without murmur, you from sin's ruin to save. Give him your heart's adoration, give him the best that you have. Give of your best to the Master, give of the strength of your youth, throw your soul's fresh glowing ardor into the battle for truth. Jesus has set the example. Dauntless was he, young and brave. Give him your loyal devotion. Give him the best that you have. Give off your best to the master. Give him first place in your heart. Give him first place in your service. Consecrate every part. Give, and to him shall be given. God, his beloved Son, gave. Gratefully, seeking to serve him, give him the best that you have. Give off your best to the master. Naught else is worthy his love. He gave himself for your ransom, gave up his glory above, laid down his life without murmur, you from sin's ruin to save. Give him your heart's adoration. Give him the best that you have.
Give off your best to the master. Give off the strength of your youth. Throw your soul's fresh glowing ardor into the battle for truth. Jesus has set the example. Dauntless was he, young and brave. Give him your loyal devotion. Give him the best that you have. Give of your best to the master. Give of the strength of your youth. Clad in salvation's full armor, join in the battle for truth.
Indeed, my dearly beloved, let us give our master the very best and give our strength of our youth. Let us clad in salvation, full armor, join in the battle for truth. Let us give of our master the very best. Naught else is worthy his love. Let us give our master the very first place in our service for him and consecrate every part of our life, isn't it? Give, and to him shall be given. As God gave us his own beloved Son, let us gratefully give our hearts adoration, seeking to serve him and to give him our very best. Now, my dearly beloved, it is time to part once again. May the Lord richly bless you with the love of Christ within your heart as you remember the story of Mary's love for Jesus. May you love him in deed and in truth, always remembering to keep his commandments and constantly abiding in him and in his love. In Jesus' most precious and wonderful name, I ask and pray for. Amen.